Okay, good morning, everyone. It's good to be here on this another day the Lord has made. I'm glad to see each one of you here in study this morning, and I hope you came expecting to receive the word from the Lord. I'm just a vessel, but God has a word for each one of us, and I pray you came expecting. I pray you came bringing your basket. That's what we talked about last week, in anticipation of the Lord feeding us. And it is his desire that we all eat, come unto him and feed from him and upon him. And in Luke chapter 9, on last week, we ended at verse 17, Luke chapter 9, verse 17, where it says, "So they all ate and were filled." So that's my desire for each of us today, that everyone present will eat from the word of God. God's word is nourishment for our souls, for our entire being, and that we will not only all eat, but that we will all be filled. There's a word here from the Lord for each of us, and none of us will be able to contain it all. But there's a word that God has specifically for you on today. So blessed God, we come before you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, our Savior, and our Lord. We enter into your gates with thanksgiving. We enter into your courts with praise. We are thankful unto you, and we bless your name. Because you are good, your mercy is everlasting, and your truth endures to all generation. We thank you that you are here to feed us, and we want to feed on you. And we ask you now, bless this bread, bless this study, Lord God, make it more than a Sunday school class, make it more than a Bible study, make it an encounter with you, the living Christ and the living God. Sanctify and anoint this study, sanctify and anoint me, enable me to bring forth your word. It's a privilege and an honor. We bless you now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, today our study is from Luke chapter 9, and we will be continuing on in Luke chapter 9, beginning at verse 18. We are moving on our passage today, verses 18 through 20. Luke chapter 9, verses 18 through 20. So I'm going to start, first of all, by reading this passage, reading from the New King James Version of the Bible. Luke chapter 9, verse 18, it reads, "And it happened, as he was alone praying, that his disciples joined him. And he asked them, saying, Who do the crowds say that I am? So they answered and said, John the Baptist, but some say Elijah. And others say that one of the old prophets has risen again. He said to them, But who do you say that I am? Peter answered and said, The Christ of God." And that's where we're going to end our study for our scripture reading for today. Now, as we were studying on last week, I've already said that Luke chapter 9 is a transitional chapter. It is the first time that we see Jesus mentioning to the disciples that he will be killed, and that is in verse 22. So Jesus, for the first time, mentions in verse 22 that he will suffer, be rejected, be killed, and be raised again on the third day. Transitional chapter. It's also a transitional chapter, because we will see now Jesus is concentrating even more so on teaching the disciples. So this chapter is the crowd will fade, as it were, in the background, and the disciples will come to the forefront more and more. Also in chapter 9, it's transitional, because when we look at verse 51 lets us know, "Now it came to pass, when the time had come for him to be received up, that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem." And so with Calvary in mind, this chapter is transitioning us onward towards Calvary. Now, we still have quite a few chapters to go, that is true, but this is what's going on now, changing gears, as it were. Now, in chapter 9, we saw on last week, for the last previous weeks, we have seen that Jesus sent the disciples on their first solo mission trip. He equipped them, he empowered them, he told them what to do, he told them what to say. And they returned from their mission trip. We see that in verse 10. They had a successful trip. They did what Jesus told them to do. And so in verse 10, they returned. Well, when they returned, as I have mentioned, that now Jesus immediately takes them into another session of learning. And I'm putting it in my own words. It's like the next semester of learning. They had been following him and learning from him. And he sent them out on this mission trip. They had learned their lessons and they did everything well. When they return, there's yet more to learn. There's always more to learn in Christ. And so immediately in verse 10, when they returned, they told him all that they had done. Then he took them and went aside privately into a deserted place belonging to the city called Bethsaida. And so one of the first lessons that Jesus is teaching his disciples is the need for rest. And we had talked about the need for rest, but we found out when we read Matthew, Mark, and we saw there that the rest was cut short. Even when Jesus and the multitudes got in the boat on the Sea of Galilee or Tiberias, once again, the crowds were on the coastline and they were running along the coastline. And so when Jesus and the disciples got to the other side, there was all the crowds still there. So the time of rest for Jesus and for the disciples was cut short. And that set the scene for the feeding of the 5,000. 5,000 men plus the women and children. So we estimate about 15,000 people were there in that wilderness, in that deserted place, and Jesus fed the multitude. Now we're in verse 18. And verse 18 starts out, I'm reading from the New King James, and it says, "And it happened." Now, if you are just reading verse 17, "So they all ate and were filled, and 12 baskets of the leftover fragments were taken up by them," period. Then it says, "And it happened." Now you could think, okay, well, this is next. Well, really, it is next, but other things happen in between verses 17 and verse 18. Luke omits these other things, but Matthew tells us about some other things as well as Mark. Also, John lets us know some other things that happened that same day, that evening. And then John lets us know what happened the next day. And so that's why we need all four Gospels when studying. Now, we're not going to take the time to look at everything that happened in between verses 17 and 18, but let's take the time to look at what Matthew says. So let's go to Matthew. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 14. And it is in Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14, beginning at verse 15, where Jesus feeds the multitude. Matthew chapter 14, beginning at verse 15. And that passage there is Jesus feeding the multitude. And we go down and we look at verse 21. Matthew chapter 14, verse 21. And it tells us, "Now those who had eaten were about 5,000 men, beside women and children." So we know that's the feeding of the 5,000. But now hold that verse right there. And let's go over to Matthew chapter 16. And when you go to Matthew chapter 16, beginning at verse 13, Matthew chapter 16, beginning at verse 13, it says, "When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And so that's the same passage that I read at the start of our class and that we'll be studying. That's the same passage that Luke talked about. Luke said, and it happened as he was alone praying that his disciples joined him, and he asked them, saying, who do the crowds say that I am? Now, the point I'm trying to bring out is that I'm bringing out is Matthew, he told us about the feeding of the 5,000 in chapter 14. It ended with chapter 14 of Matthew, verse 21. Matthew does not mention Jesus asking, who do the crowds say that I am, until you get to chapter 16. So that lets you know everything in Matthew in between chapter 14, verse 22, all the way to chapter 16, verse 12. Those are things that happen that Luke did not record. It is during that time that Jesus walked on the water. And we've all heard about Jesus walking on the water. Well, that happened after Jesus fed the 5,000. And Jesus did other things that happened in between the feeding of the 5,000 and him asking the disciples, who do the crowd say that I am? So I encourage you when studying, look at the parallel scriptures that go with whatever you're studying in the Gospels. Let's go back to Luke. Luke chapter 9. And so in between verses 17 of Luke chapter 9 and verse 18, we have established that more things happened, even though Luke did not tell us about it. And so now in Luke chapter 9, verse 18, it says, and it happened as he was alone praying. And so now this passage that I just read Matthew, Luke 9, verses 18 through 20. And let me say, there is a lot in these verses. All of God's word, you can never study it all. You can never know it all. You can never exhaust all of God's word because God's word is alive. It's the living word of God. And these passages, each Bible verse is like pressed down, shaken together, running over with the word, the truth, the spirit of God. So even though we only read 1, 2, 3 verses, look how much is in these verses. First of all, in verse 18, we see Jesus is praying. And that's a big topic right there. And I'm going to spend more time talking about that. So that could be one thing you could talk about Jesus and study on Jesus praying. But also not only Jesus praying, but here's discipleship once again. Because if anyone truly is a disciple of the Lord, they will join him. That is part of being a disciple, is following him and being with him. And then the question is, and you can study this, this is a big study too. Who do the crowd say that Jesus is? Now, well, there's all kinds of opinions, even in this day, who Jesus is. And so that's another topic. And then we look at and we see these prophets that come on the scene in verse 19. John the Baptist is mentioned. Elijah is mentioned. And then the old prophets are mentioned. And we've seen them show up before in this chapter 9. And that's another big study right there. It's the prophets. And why is Jesus, some say that he's one of the prophets. Why do they think he's one of the prophets? So that's another study. And then we look at verse 20, and verse 20 brings it on personal. Verse 20 says, who do you say? Who do you, each one of you, as well as myself, who do you individually say that Jesus is? And so that you have to answer for yourself. And then Peter answered, and now we see a confession comes forth. And Peter confesses that Jesus is the Christ of God. Well, who can exhaust what all the Christ means? That is a study in and of itself. We've heard Jesus Christ. We know about Jesus, Savior, Christ, the Christ of God. And so that, this scripture right here, 8 verses 18, 19, 20, so much within it, that we could spend a whole day, a whole week, a whole month, a whole year, a whole decade, even as it were, and not even exhaust what is all in these three verses. But so I, with that in mind, I'm going to go the way that I feel the Spirit would have me to go and teach. In verse 18, we see, it says in verse 18, and it happened as he was alone praying. Now we know Jesus had tried to get alone. And when I say he had tried, I have to put that in quotes. Jesus had tried to get alone with the disciples earlier on in chapter 9. That's in verse 10, where he told the disciples, he took them aside privately into a deserted place. Well, when they tried to get alone by themselves for some rest, when they tried to get alone back in verse 10, that time of rest was cut short. But now we're going to see in verse 18 here that now Jesus and the disciples will have some alone time. And this is another reason that this chapter is transitioning. So for the first time here, we see Jesus alone with his disciples for a significant length of time. Well, you may ask, how long were they alone? Well, scripture is going to let us know. Now, when we look at here, verse 18, Jesus is, it tells us right there, he was alone. And then it says his disciples joined him. So we have Jesus and those 12 disciples with the Lord. And then there's a conversation that goes back and forth. Jesus asked two questions. He asked a question in verse 18, who do the crowds say that I am? And then the disciples respond. And then Jesus asked another question in verse 20. And the question there is, who do you say that I am? And then it lets us know here, Peter answered. And we know Peter, one of the 12 disciples. And then Jesus goes on talking, revealing to his disciples and them alone. The crowd is not on the scene here. The crowd is gone. They're away. And now it's just Jesus and the 12. And so in verse 22, Jesus, for the first time, as I have mentioned, tells the disciple what is going to happen to him in the future. And then Jesus goes on talking to his disciples. And so we can see, if you have the red letter, where Jesus is speaking to the disciples. Well, then we get to verse 27. And what I'm establishing now is they had a fairly lengthy, and the word lengthy is a relative word, but they had a significant time alone. So when we get to verse 27, it says, Jesus says, I tell you truly, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the kingdom of God. Now it came to pass, Luke the narrator, now it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings. So that gives us a time frame there. How long was Jesus alone with the disciples? Well, we can say based on this scripture that it was about 8 days, so a little over a week that they were alone. Now, when you read Matthew and when you read Mark, you're going to find out that they both said about 6 days. So about 6 days, and Luke says about 8 days. And so we can surmise from that over a week, a little over a week or so that they were alone. And so Luke tells us that it was about 8 days, and then Jesus alone with his disciples, and they're still alone. And Jesus takes aside three of the disciples in verse 28, Peter, John, and James. Now the crowd gathers around. Somewhere that crowd comes back on the scene, because when we look at verse 37 says, now it happened on the next day, and we would say the ninth day, because Luke said about 8 days. And then he says in verse 37, the next day. And so we say, okay, about 9 days later or so, approximately 9 days later or so, they came down from the mountain that a great multitude met him. And so now the private time is over. And so this multitude comes back on the scene. But we can see from that, going back to Luke chapter 9, verse 18, that Jesus and the 12 disciples now have had a significant amount of time of rest and a significant time for Jesus to reveal things to the disciples. Now, when we look at verse 18, it also says, and it happened as he was alone. Jesus is alone. And the question is, well, what is he doing alone? Well, it lets us know that he is praying. Jesus is praying. And Jesus is the pattern for us in prayer. We see Jesus praying here, and then the disciples join him in prayer. Now, the thought came to me, and I need to read and read again the Gospels, but the thought came to me just this morning that I don't recall any time that the disciples themselves prayed. I don't recall any time in the Gospels that any of those 12 disciples themselves prayed. And so I would encourage you to read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and see if you can find a time where the disciples prayed themselves, for themselves, prayed at all. But we can see here they had been watching Jesus. They're learning from Jesus. They're watching him. They're listening to him, and they're listening to Jesus in prayer. Well, as Jesus is praying here, and then when he lifts up from prayer, as it were, then he asks, the disciples have joined him, and no doubt they're listening to Jesus praying. And then Jesus, his prayer, we would say the prayer ends, and he asks a question. Well, before this scenario is over with, look what happens in verse 20. Verse 20, we see that when Jesus was praying in verse 18, and whenever Jesus prays, look for something significant to happen next. And the thing that significantly happens after Jesus is praying in this passage of scripture is verse 20. Verse 20, but who do you say that I am? And the answer came back from Peter, and the other gospels say, and the disciples. The answer comes back, you are the Christ of God. Now, Jesus had been praying. That's important. As a result of his prayers, it is as a result of his prayers, and I'm going to show you more scripture to solidify that. As a result of his praying, then Peter knew who Jesus was, not fully. He didn't understand fully, but he knew through the prayer ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, this confession comes forth that Jesus, you are the Christ of God. If you remember, it was only back in chapter 8. Back in chapter 8, when we look at chapter 8, verse 25. And in chapter 8, we recall that passage. That's where Jesus was asleep on the boat, and this great storm came on the sea, and the waves and the wind, and the boat was sinking, but Jesus was on the boat, and the disciples were afraid, and they woke Jesus up, and they said, Jesus, we're perishing, and Jesus got up, and Jesus rebuked the wind and the waves, and the storm ceased. And so Luke chapter 8, verse 25, those same disciples, including Peter, it was in Luke chapter 8, verse 25, where it reads, but he said to them, where is your faith? And they were afraid, talking about the 12, and marveled, saying one to another, who can this be? So it was only in chapter 8, just the other chapter, the next door chapter, where Peter didn't know who Jesus was. They had not been brought to the point, and still not fully knowing it in chapter 9, but at least now that the revelation has come forth, Jesus is the Christ. Whereas in chapter 8, the question amongst the 12 asking one another, who can this be? And so for the remainder of our time today, I want to go through the prayers of Jesus from Luke, saying when Jesus prays, something significantly happens in the kingdom. The kingdom of God advances. The ministry of God advances. The work of God advances. The kingdom of Satan is extinguished to some degree each time that there is prayer by Jesus. So let's go back. The first prayer that we see of Jesus is in Luke chapter 3. So when we go back to Luke chapter 3, and this is all going to tie in with Peter confessing Jesus is the Christ. So the point now that I'm teaching and emphasizing is the prayers of Jesus, whenever he prays, it advances the kingdom work of God. The kingdom work of God is advanced. So we see in Luke chapter 3, when we go to Luke chapter 3, this is the first recorded prayer here of Jesus in Luke. Luke chapter 3, verse 21. And Luke chapter 3, verse 21 says, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And we know John the Baptist baptized him, that Jesus also was baptized. And while he prayed, there it is, while Jesus is praying, something significant is going to happen. And you know, whenever you see Jesus praying in scripture, look for something to happen. So while Jesus is praying, the heaven was open. Well, hey, the kingdom comes on the scene, a shift in the gear. The heaven was a form like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, you are my beloved son, in you I am well pleased. And so as Jesus is praying, while he is praying, these things happen. Heaven opens, the dove comes, anoints Jesus for service. The Father himself introduces his son and validates his son. As a result now also of Jesus' prayers in chapter 4, he is immediately led up into to the wilderness by the Spirit to be tempted by the devil. Then we go to Luke chapter 5. Let's go on over to Luke chapter 5. And in Luke chapter 5, verse 16. And it says, so he, Jesus himself, often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. And all those significant things that happen, that advances in the kingdom, you need to read those passages. Just read the following verses and you will see, well, where is the advancement of the kingdom? What significantly changed after Jesus prayed? But it tells us here, he often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. Well, let's keep going. Let's keep going on to chapter 6. And when we go to chapter 6, now we are to pray. We are to pray. I think all of us know that as children of God, we are to pray. But we want to see how Jesus is our pattern. Jesus prayed, and we are to pray often as well. So in Luke chapter 6, when we go to Luke chapter 6, verse 12, and it reads, now it came to pass in those days that he, Jesus, went out to the mountain to pray. And he continued all night in prayer to God. And I remember when I was teaching this passage, we were in the church then, physically located in Salem Baptist Church, the Contemporary Bible class. And I can remember saying, you know, it's hard for most of us to pray continually, even for an hour. But Jesus here praying to his Father all night long. And then so we're seeing, well, what happens? What happens after he prayed? And the next thing we see, Luke chapter 6, verse 12, significant, a movement and advancement of the plan of God upon the earth that comes forth through the prayer life, through the prayers of Jesus. So Jesus had prayed all night long. And then in verse 13, it says, And when it was day, so that morning there, the next day, then he calls his disciples. Now that is significant. We're going to see now it was a result of praying to get in, want to be in the will of God, see who the Father has chosen. Jesus, the Son of God, did not do anything independently of his Father. So I believe during that prayer, that all night long prayer, I could believe it was during that time that the Father lets the Son know who to choose, because the Father is the one that gives to Jesus the children. And so we see in Luke chapter 6, verse 12, Jesus prays all night. And the next significant thing that happens is the 12 disciples are called forth. That is a big thing that came forth as a result of prayer. Then the next time we see Jesus praying is in Luke chapter 9. So let's go back to Luke chapter 9, which is our home-based scripture. And we'll be in this passage for a few weeks. So Luke chapter 9, which we've already read, verse 18, Jesus is praying. The disciples join him. What's the significant thing that happens? The significant thing that happens is a confession, that knowing that Jesus is the Christ, he is Messiah, he is the one the Old Testament prophets have been prophesying about, the Christ of God. And so that came through the prayers of Jesus. And we're going to see that more and more as we continue on this line of teaching that we're on this morning. So let's go on in Luke chapter 9. In Luke chapter 9, we see again Jesus praying and something significant, big advancement of the kingdom happens. In Luke chapter 9, verse 28. Luke chapter 9, verse 28. And it reads, "Now it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings that he, Jesus, took Peter, John, and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And as he prayed," see, we don't see the disciples praying. We find out they go to sleep. Peter, James, and John, they went to sleep. But Jesus, verse 29, Jesus prays. Look for something significant to happen. And as Jesus is praying, a lot happens here. The appearance of his face was altered, and his robe became white and glistening. And behold, two men talked with him who were Moses and Elijah. I mean, big things happen coming through the prayers of Jesus. The prayers of Jesus, significant things happen. Well, let's go on over to Luke chapter 10. Let's see what Luke chapter 10 has to tell us. And when we go to Luke chapter 10, verse 21, now it's not going to use the word prayer, but we can see the Lord Jesus talking to Father, communing with his Father. And so Jesus in Luke chapter 10, verse 21, "In that hour, Jesus rejoiced." Here's the Lord Jesus joying, praising, rejoicing in God, his Savior, rejoicing, Jesus praising God, Jesus rejoicing in God. Verse 21, Luke chapter 10, "In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit and said, I thank you, Father." Now there's the Godhead right there in those words. We see Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. The Son, you see Jesus. "In that hour, Jesus," God the Son, "rejoiced in the Spirit," God the Holy Ghost, "and said, I thank you, Father." And so the Spirit of God and Jesus, Spirit and Jesus, come together in prayer to God. And so Jesus says to the Father, "I thank you, Father. I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father." And here's what I really want us to see this morning. "And no one knows who the Son is. No one knows who the Son is except the Father, and who the Father is except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. So the point I'm trying to bring out and bringing out with God's help is Peter just didn't figure it out. Peter just didn't one day say, oh, I got it. And a light bulb went out. Oh, Jesus is the Christ. Peter didn't all of a sudden just get smart. No, he didn't just get smart. He didn't just figure it out. It came as a result of Jesus praying and then the Father giving to the Son and then the Son revealing to Peter, the Father revealing to Peter through the prayers of Jesus who Jesus is. Jesus is the Christ. And this verse lets us know in Luke chapter 10, verse 22, no one knows who the Son is. So for us today in this Zoom class, us who confess Jesus Christ is Lord, Jesus is Savior, and He is Lord, we have a reason to rejoice, just like Jesus rejoiced, because we didn't just figure it out on our own. We didn't just get smart on our own. It could have been, we could have heard thousands of sermons and never figured out. You can't figure out who Jesus is. He's unfigurable with human wisdom. It takes the Spirit of God and the Father to reveal the Son. So now we see in Luke lets us know no one knows who the Son is except the Father. And so the Father revealed to Peter through Jesus's prayers who Jesus is. Now let's go to Matthew, and we're going to continue in Luke, but let's go to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. So when we go to Matthew, first book in the New Testament, Matthew chapter 16, Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, so that's where we are. We were in Bethsaida with the feeding of the 5,000. But now verse 13, Matthew 16, 13. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, okay, Jesus answered and said to Peter, blessed are you, Simon. Now look right there. It said, blessed are you, Simon. Hold that. Now we're going to come right back to it, but hold it. Blessed are you, Simon. And let's go back to where we left off in Luke, Luke chapter 10, Luke chapter 10, verse 22. And all things have been delivered to me by my Father. And no one knows who the Son is except the Father. And let's go down to verse 23. And verse 23 says, then Jesus turned to his disciples and said privately, blessed are the eyes which see the things you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see what you see and have not seen it, and to hear what you hear and have not heard it. And so Jesus says to the disciples that they are blessed. Well, let's go back to Matthew 16. Matthew 16, Matthew 16. Peter has just made the confession in Matthew 16, 16. Peter has just confessed, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I pray you have made that confession. Romans 10 tells us, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For if thou shalt believe in thy heart and confess with thy mouth that Jesus is Lord. And so all of us, each one of you, if you have not made that confession and you believe it in your heart, you need to confess it with your mouth. That is how God said it is to be done. And so Peter now, I'm in Matthew 16, 16. Peter makes the confession, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Verse 17, Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. So you all, we know Jesus as Savior and Lord. We ought to praise God forever and forever. And we do. We thank you, Lord, that he would select, choose, predestine, call us, and grant us, open our eyes to see who Jesus is. It wasn't, here in verse 17, it wasn't flesh and blood. We can talk all day long. You can tell people all day long about Jesus, and we should. We're supposed to do that. But without the unction of the Holy Ghost, the prayers of Jesus and the Father, people will never see who Jesus is. And so Matthew chapter 16, 17, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Let's go back to Luke chapter 10. So when we go back to Luke chapter 10, because I'm going to continue now looking at things happen when Jesus prays. And us who believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, may not fully understand what all it means he is the Christ, but we believe it. May not always all fully understand what all it even means that he is Savior, but we believe it. And we believe he has saved us from our sins. We believe that, and we have confessed that. So Luke chapter 10, now let's move on and see the next time Jesus prays and what significant happens. That is in Luke chapter 11. We move on to Luke chapter 11. And when we get to Luke chapter 11, now it came to pass as Jesus was praying in a certain place when he ceased that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. So now we see all the disciples are growing. Amen. They're growing because they had not prayed before at all. As far as I know, we don't see them praying. And I don't think we ever see them praying in the Gospels. But here they're saying growth has occurred. And they say, Lord, teach us to pray. As John also taught his disciples. So what significantly happens? Now what significantly happens that is very important and advances the kingdom. And God, Jesus said, so he said to them, Luke chapter 11, verse 2, when you pray, say. Now all of us, this is to all of us today as disciples of the Lord. Jesus said to his disciples, and we are followers of Christ, and we are to be praying. And Jesus said, when you pray, say, and then he gives us what we call the Lord's Prayer. And he says, say, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And he goes on giving what we call the Lord's Prayer. And I want everyone to know, because I believe it's true. Yes, it's a model prayer. But Jesus didn't say this is a model prayer. He said, when you pray, say it. Say it like I told you. So we can't get smarter than Jesus. Even though it is a model prayer, yes, it's a model prayer, but sometimes and really often we should pray it just like he said, do it. We don't want to ever get so-called smarter than God. So when he said, when you pray, say. So I encourage each one of you at least sometime today, now that you know it, pray the Lord's Prayer, what we call the Lord's Prayer. Jesus told us to do it. And then we see in this Lord's Prayer is included, your kingdom come, your will be done. The next time we see Jesus praying, let's go on over to chapter 22, chapter 22 of Luke. When we go to chapter 22 of Luke, chapter 22, we come on down to verse 31. Verse 31, and the Lord said, the Lord Jesus, the Lord said, Simon, that's Peter, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brother. Now that's significant because Satan not only has asked for Peter, but he desires each one of us. And the way we make it, thank God, the way we make it, the way we have made it, the way we came out of darkness into the marvelous light is because Jesus prayed for us. And it says in verse 32, and it's not just true of Simon, it's also true of us. Jesus has prayed for you, and Jesus has prayed for me. And so these significant things, thank you, Jesus. We know that's part of his high priestly work. Today, Jesus is in his high priestly role. Well, what do priests do? Priests offer sacrifices. And one of the sacrifices is that intercessory prayer. Jesus continually praying and praying for us. Also in Luke chapter 22, let's go on, since we might as well get all these prayers in Luke of Jesus. And we go on to verse 41 now. Verse 41, and this is now, we're entering into the sufferings of Christ. We're entering into the sufferings of Christ. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Luke chapter 22, verse 40. Luke 22, 40. When he came to the place, he said to them, pray. Jesus tells the disciples, pray that you may not enter into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw. And he, Jesus, knelt down and prayed. And now we see Jesus, and we know he prayed it three times, praying for himself now. Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And so what significantly happens now? What's significantly going to happen through the prayers of Jesus? Thank God Jesus prayed through. He had to pray three times. He prayed through for what? For the will of God to be done. For what? That he may drink the cup, drink it down to the dregs. For what? That he would go ahead and accomplish, die on Calvary's cross. And so it took the prayers of Jesus. He had to pray and pray again to be able in line. He had to succumb, overcome his own flesh, his own flesh. Who wants to be crucified? And so Jesus had to pray and pray again. Take this cup from me. But he prayed in the will of the Father. He expressed his desire. It was his desire. But he said, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And so the next significant thing that happens, that comes through the prayers of Jesus, is he is crucified on Calvary's cross. But when we see Jesus crucified on Calvary's cross, these are the last prayers in Luke here of Jesus, because even on Calvary, Jesus is praying. And so we see, let's go to Luke chapter 23. Jesus is crucified, and we see where Jesus prays on Calvary. Let me go on to the crucifixion here. Jesus is crucified in chapter 23. And then we see in chapter 23, verse 34. Luke chapter 23, verse 34. Let's read verse 33. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then Jesus said, getting ready to pray, Father, that's a prayer on Calvary. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And so we see Jesus praying and praying again on Calvary till you get to that last saying of Jesus. The sixth saying of Jesus on the cross is, it is finished. And then the last saying of Jesus, a prayer, the last saying of Jesus on the cross is, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. And the scripture say, he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. And so we see Jesus praying early on. We see Jesus praying from the baptism of Christ all the way to the crucifixion of Christ. All the way to his death, Jesus is praying. And each time he prays, the kingdom advances. And you know, when he died, you talking about kingdom advancing, Satan's head was crushed. the prophecy way back in Genesis. Satan's head was crushed and we could be redeemed because the sacrifice for sin had been paid, the blood of Jesus. So in our last remaining minutes, we have 5 minutes. Let's go back to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, and we'll be in this passage until we're done. Luke chapter 9, verse 18. And it happened. Luke chapter 9, verse 18. And it happened as he was alone praying. Jesus was praying. And what came through? We know the confession that Jesus Christ is Lord. Well, how do we know? How did we know to confess? Because the Father revealed it to us. Jesus prayed for us. The Holy Ghost helps us. And we came to see by grace. It is by grace that we have been saved through faith. It's not our works that did it. It is amazing grace that we are saved. I do want to close with, I still have 5 minutes. So Luke chapter 9 here, verse 18, we see Jesus praying. We see now whenever Jesus prays, something happens. And whoever is inclined to do it, I would encourage you to go to those other gospels and find there where Jesus is praying. There's power, power in prayer. And Jesus's prayers, we know, on a whole different level than ours, but we still have power in prayer. That is one of the most powerful things that we can do. One of the most powerful things on this earth is prayer that comes through the believer. And so Jesus praying in Luke 9, verse 18, on next week, Lord willing, we're going to go on. I'm not quite sure which way God's going to lead me, because we do need to see why is Jesus numbered always with these prophets, and some thinking that he's one of the prophets. And then we need to know more about the Christ of God. So I'll see how the Lord leads me during this week. But I want to close today. Let's go to the book of James, the book of James, which is towards the back of your Bibles. James, let's go on towards the back to the book of James in chapter 5. And prayer is, if a person's truly born again, they will pray. Now, prayer is one of the things, and I think you all know that the enemy fights prayer. Enemy fights prayer because he knows the power of prayer. Prayer changes things. So let's go to the book of James, the last chapter in James, James chapter 5. James chapter 5, and there are many scriptures that we could look at, but James chapter 5, beginning at let's begin at verse 13. James chapter 5, verse 13. Is anyone among you suffering? Question mark. Anybody suffering? Well, it says, let him pray. Now, if you have a Bible, you can mark in. I encourage you to circle each time the word prayer or pray shows up. Verse 13, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? You know, even in our Zoom class today, someone's suffering. And then somebody's cheerful. Well, for the one who's cheerful, let him sing psalms. Is any among you sick? Somebody's sick in our class today. Let him call for the elders of the church and let them do what? Pray. Pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer, there it is again, pray. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray. Pray for yourself. That's how it started out. Pray for yourself. But then it comes on down to verse 16. Pray for one another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual. Now here it is. When Jesus prayed, things happen. But when we pray too, and all of us, I think prayer is things Christians talk a lot about, but do very little of for the most part. So we all need to strengthen our prayer lives. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. At verse 17, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly. Verse 18, and he prayed again. Well, it's 9:54, so you all know what time it is. It's time for me to pray, and it's time for us to say, see you next week. Father in heaven, we thank you for the prayers of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for you being Father who has revealed the Son to us by your Spirit. And with our heart, we believe, and with our mouth, we confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. We ask you to be with us through this week. Keep us in your care until we meet again. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Y'all keep praying. That's the word for the day. Pray.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. We're praying for you, Velma. We're
Thank
praying
you. For you. Pray for me. I pray for you. I pray for each one of you every day. I pray for you. Pray for me.
Pray for
everyone have a great week.
You too.
You too.
Thank you, Velma.
God bless you.
Thank you.
Bless you, everyone.
Amen.
God bless you.
Amen.